Well, it's wonderful to be here and a bit funny to be doing the two roles. But I'm so thrilled to be talking to you about this issue because it's one very dear to my heart and one that has preoccupied me for over a decade, because I feel a real sense of urgency around what is happening for some of our boys. And as I present, one of the questions I'd like you to think about in the back of your mind is not just about when and where our boys and young men are disengaging, but perhaps the bigger and the more powerful and challenging questions behind that. When do we disengage from our boys and young people? Because I honestly believe that is the core at where so many of the problems we're facing today. The thing is, I don't think, not just anybody in this room, of course, but I think most of us in Australia, we want to see our boys thrive. We want to see them grow up and be empowered, wonderful young men, contributing to the nation, to their communities, to their friendship groups in ways that are meaningful to them. But as we know, this is not always happening in a way that it should for our boys. So why is this? It's interesting, when I did my research with the boys and talked to many, many teenage boys across the country, that they talked to me constantly about how we as adults perceive boys, that we see them as nuisances, as difficult, as problems needing to be solved, and about the fact that so much of what we see about boys in the newspaper are stories of dysfunction and violence and so forth. What came out in the research I did around boys was this massive confusion about what they're meant to be in the world. Are they meant to be this kind of macho hero that kind of goes out there and conquers the world? Or are they meant to be this soft kind of bloke? And when we talk about this, we kind of tend to do it in a rather dismissive way, particularly us girls, I have to say, as if somehow our boys are stupid. But the thing is, they're confused because we're confused. We don't know fully what we want from them. And so this leaves them in a very uncertain trajectory as they go towards, step towards adulthood. So what about our socialization of boys? I think although a lot of great work has been done by a huge number of people around the country and continues to be, and I'm sure in this room, and most notable with people like Steve Bodolphy, etc., there is still a lot more work to be done to understand the landscape that boys arrive in. Because we still have this mindset that somehow, because we're so desperate for our boys to be strong and independent, that they kind of arrive almost fully formed in that state, when in fact nothing could be further from the truth. As human beings, we need to have a solid basis of nurture, of belonging, and so on, before we can push out and be strong. And I also want to question that stereotype of the kind of strong, silent type, which we'll look at in a minute. So, as we look at the socialization of our boys, what is very clear to me, and I'm sure very clear to all of you, is that what we all want as human beings is to belong, to feel valued, to feel we can make a contribution, to be loved, to be part of something greater than us. But when we look around at the contemporary landscape, and what interests me greatly is, as some of you will know, is the marketing to young people, the pop culture, I see that we're giving boys a sense of belonging. But I believe it's a very degraded sense of belonging. We're not giving them a belonging that touches them deep in their spirit. It's about what they wear. It's about the kind of sneakers they have, their board shorts, their clothing. That's the kind of belonging that is dominating with our boys at the moment. What I also see is, you know, I think one of the wonderful things about boys, and of course our men, is a desire to be heroic in some way. And again, we can be very dismissive about this as if this is kind of not something terribly important. But of course, we never think that when the bushfires are on and other disasters are happening. And I see, it's certainly in the boys I talk to, I saw profound need to be heroic in some way, which is really just a code for being part of something that is greater than your individual self. But when I looked around and talked to boys about where they were finding their heroism, I have to say that what we are offering them is a very degraded form of heroism, where that is violent narratives through gaming, etc. And this is where I do diverge from James, I have to say, where the solution to problems is violent and violence and obliteration, which offers no nuance, no solutions to being an everyday, for everyday life. And dare I say, we see these narratives being played out on the nightly news across the world in ways that are just unspeakable through people who have not learnt about nuance and about meeting people halfway, etc. What I found with the boys is an incredible tenderness inside, which I'd never expected. It might be because I'd never had any brothers, but I found an immense, yes, tenderness is the word, when I got under their skin as we talked. And all sorts of things were made apparent to me, like the number of young boys who said to me, you know, you get to an age of about 4 or 5, and then mum and dad kind of don't want to touch you anymore. And I don't mean that literally, but they don't want to hug. They don't want to hold you close because of that fear. They don't realise what it is, but it's our fear that we're going to contaminate them with feelings, and they're not going to be able to be strong and independent. And what does this create then? Where do we go as a young boy for that expression of that need for intimacy? Well, pop culture gives them a very degraded sense of themselves and their sexual selves, I believe. And they're caught up in the performance culture, which I've talked about before. This having to be amazing all the time, having to perform 24/7. How does this play out in the messages boys get around sex? It is that sense that relationships about brutality, about getting what you want, predatory kind of relationships, which we're seeing increasingly in pop culture, you know, in scenes like this, which would even suggest gang rape situations. So you put all this together and you think it's a pretty confusing world for boys out there. A number of young men said to me when I did the book on men and boys, What Men Don't Talk About, they said to me, and this is Lawrence's quote, which sums it up, I still see the way boys are brought up as cruel. I see it with friends who don't even realise they're being cruel. Parents are less intolerant of weakness and vulnerability in boys. It really hits me. I was on a train in Sydney last Sunday with my husband, and we were going into town to do something. And this mum was clearly, you know, she'd had a bad day. And there was this little boy, about 8 or 9, and he clearly just wanted someone to put their arms around him. And she did what so many have done, not understanding what he needed. You know, don't be held out there, don't be a baby, and all this kind of thing. And I wasn't physically in a position to do anything, but I just wanted to cry. And what I said to him as we left, I just put my hand on his back and I said, you know what, everybody's allowed to have a bad day. That was all I could think to do in the moment. Because what we do with boys when they don't perform to the stereotype, we haven't given them the full stepping stones. So what we do is we shame them. And when you've been shamed, you know you're not going to go back to that space. And so boys learn very early on that they have to pretend to be strong even when they're not strong. They have to pretend to know what they're doing. They have to pretend that everything's fine when it's not, and so on. And then we wonder where so many of the issues come from. And we all know the shaming phrases, don't be such a girl, etc. Let's have a look a bit more about that.
Stop crying.
Stop with the tears.
Don't cry.
Pick yourself up.
Stop with the emotions.
Don't be a pussy.
Don't let nobody disrespect you.
Be cool and be kind of a dick.
Always keep your mouth shut.
Nobody likes a tattletale.
Bros come before hoes.
Don't let your woman run your life.
You a bitch.
What a fag.
Get laid. Do something.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Grow some balls.
The three most destructive words that every man receives when he's a boy is when he's told to be a man.
We've constructed an idea of masculinity in the United States that doesn't give young boys a way to feel secure in their masculinity, so we make them go prove it all the time.
Within their peer group culture, each of them is posturing based on how the other boys are posturing, and what they end up missing is what they each really want, which is just that closeness.
In good times, guys are like really close to each other, but when things get a little bit worse, you're on your own.
From middle school, I had four really close friends. Once I kind of went into high school, I struggle finding people I can talk to because I feel like I'm not supposed to get help.
Our kids get up every morning. They have to prepare their mask for how they're gonna walk to school. A lot of our students don't know how to take the mask off. What is it you don't let people see? Almost 90% of you have pain and anger on the back of that paper.
If you never cry, then you have all these feelings stuffed up inside of you, and then you can't get them out.
They really buy into a culture that doesn't value what we've feminized. If we're in a culture that doesn't value caring, doesn't value relationships, doesn't value empathy, you are going to have boys and girls, men and women, go crazy.
I had anger issues in high school. I felt like an outcast.
I've been suspended at least once every year I was here.
We would just look for trouble and just like try to fight.
Boys are more likely to act out. They're more likely to become aggressive. Most people miss that as depression or see it as a conduct disorder or just a bad kid.
I felt like just giving up on life. You know, I just had suicide thoughts in my head at sixth grade.
I felt alone for a long time. And I actually thought about killing myself.
Whether it's homicidal violence or suicidal violence, people resort to such desperate behavior only when they are feeling shamed and humiliated, or feel they would be if they didn't prove that they were real men.
If you're told from day one, don't let nobody disrespect you, and this is the way you handle it as a man, respect is linked to violence.
If I can man up, why step down from that? You feel me?
It's like instinct.
So man up!
Man up!
Man up!
Man up!
Throw some fucking balls!
Act like a man!
Be a man!
Be a man!
For my kids, I was gonna end this hyper-masculine narrative here.
Okay, so while that's in the States, for me, it very much sums up the kinds of pain and anguish that I was finding amongst the boys that I was talking to. And what it became very apparent to me is the double life that so many of our boys end up leaving. And for instance, Ashton 12 said, on the outside, boys are saying nothing. On the inside, they're under pressure, but they say they're fine. They don't tell anybody because it's a mental weakness to tell. One of the things that I found interesting also was with the boys was their experience of school and how difficult this was. And we can see from this quote, I think, something interesting. This talk of a constant anxiety, and this came up again and again with so many boys I talked to about their school years, this kind of underlying sense of anxiety all the time. What I think is also really interesting about this quote is this feeling that mum and dad are actually powerless too. Because if we as adults are not intervening in those moments and helping walk our boys through that, they assume that's because we are powerless. And they have to walk alone with these things. And so, of course, as we saw in the YouTube clip, as many of you will know, this kind of bubbling anger all the time that boys have. I thought Tony, who's in his 20s, summed it up beautifully when he talked about his teen years, where it can't just be any sort of anger. It's got to be that kind of full-on anger. It's got to look really masculine. And so what we get is this pretending not to feel. It restricts you in our culture because it's more acceptable for a girl to cry. And I think this is just a crucial sentence. It changes you, who you are as a person, when you can't be yourself. And I think for a lot of us, we are holding on to stereotypes that we need to blow out of the water, that are so old and so obsolete, they have no value in the 21st century. The big question I want to ask as we continue this presentation, which I think is crucial, is what are the boys supposed to do then with this anger and pain and confusion? Of course, we know what they do. This kind of violence of emotion that bubbles up inside them after all the suppression tends to go one of two ways. They either hurt themselves because they can't bear to hurt anybody else, but that pain has to go somewhere. Or it goes out, and it doesn't just stay with them as teenagers. These are the people we meet in workplaces, in the homes, and with our epidemic of domestic violence we have today. And they are absolutely linked. And what we are seeing with domestic violence, I believe, across Australia now, are the victims of people who didn't get help along the way. They are our casualties. And what do we offer as pop culture? We offer our boys to escape into pleasure or into violence we've talked about. Or, you know, social media, body, we're going to look at this afternoon with bigorexia, sex, drinking. Where are the clues here about being an empowered human being, walking towards adulthood? Not a lot. Or, of course, even our most vulnerable boys falling into the dark promises of things like radicalization, which we'll look at a bit later on. And we've talked already about domestic violence, etc. So what I see with our boys even now is this incredible imprisonment in an outdated definition of what it means to be a man. So how do we change this? And this is the exciting bit, because, you know, I don't actually believe it's that hard. What we need to do is ask ourselves, what do we need tomorrow? We don't need strong, silent types, blokes like the Marlborough Man, you know, which I know is an old stereotype, out on his horse on the ranges. That's not 21st century life. We need good communicators. What does that say? Language and literacy. Engaged, empathetic, self-aware, adaptable. These are the qualities we need to be imbuing our boys with. I know most of us know about Men Are From Mars. It was a huge international bestseller. There are games on it. There was even a Broadway show. But I have to say to you, I think it had a very destructive effect on our culture, because it forced us, or encouraged us, I should say, to focus on our differences rather than the things that bring us together. Because at the end of the day, we are all human beings with the same deep needs of belonging and so forth, which we've talked about earlier. So how do we help our boys with that walk towards empowering their humanity, giving it forms of expression? Well, what we're seeing now through a range of research, and in the notes I've given you, there's details about this, we're now seeing that cognitively, etc., that as men and women, we are much closer than we realized. Of course, there are nuances and differences, and that's a good thing. What we've seen with the women's movement, which is a great thing and so needed, is that men have walked across the bridge to really genuinely try and understand what Girl Land's about. What I feel it's time for now, and you may have heard me say it before, but it has to be said again, it's time we walked across the bridge and understood the world of men and boys profoundly and in a way that we can help empower them and respect them. What I found incredibly moving was how boys felt about being around men, because this has come as a kind of, it's a whammy coming from several directions, I think, for boys. We didn't get things right. We've had the feminist movement, and that's created confusion for men. We've got the 21st century issues and things moving fast. We've got fragmented society where boys don't see and are not around as many men as they were previously. Put all that together, and it doesn't create a very strong baseline for boys. I thought this was one of the most poignant things I heard from boys. This young guy said to me, sometimes I feel a sadness when I get, he actually went away with a group of blokes with his dad. Sometimes I feel a sadness when I get there because I realize how much I've missed being around the men. I feel enormously affirmed. It's a wonderful thing to be. What I thought was sad, what was tragic, was that sense of sadness of realizing that they were missing out on that in everyday life. So what we need, I think, are much more realistic ways for boys to be heroes. You know, we've kind of grown up on the Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, and all the people who've come after them, the kind of macho rubbish. But what does it mean to be a hero in your home, in your community? And usefulness. We know the power of volunteerism. What I thought was interesting, two things I read in the paper recently. One is this, that at Holdsworthy Barracks in Sydney, where a number of soldiers had come back and they were injured and not able to kind of perform their tasks, that they'd actually got them working in a dog shelter. And this was with people with PTSD, et cetera, and working with those wounded animals and that ability to express emotions with animals that are very emotional was immensely healing. And this is also now starting to happen in our jails as well. This sense of being able to do something that's worthwhile, to participate in moments that matter. Lynn Poynton, who's a very good psychologist in the States, she said when the San Francisco earthquake was on, which is a while ago now, some of the at-risk kids that she was working with, she got them involved in helping, and some of the stuff was quite difficult, and she said it was amazing the impact it had on those kids. We saw the impact of the Brisbane floods. In Christchurch, the earthquake, they actually have a student army that got together to help. Feeling that you have something to give rather than feeling that you're just a nuisance. So I feel we have with our little kids, not just our boys, our girls, we have to create a helping culture. For those of us who've been around a while, helping wasn't an option when we were growing up. But we felt proud that we were able to help in the family. What happened where that got tipped into it being a punishment? Helping should be a privilege because it's an empowering situation, and we need to start very young with that. And with our boys, we need to start to help them see where their child self is coming to play and where their emerging adult self. And they need practical everyday examples of this. If you're on a bus and there's a woman who's pregnant, an old bloke, is it the child or the adult who sits there with his school bag? Does the adult get up? And in everyday life situations that we can help these boys join the dots in very real ways. And I've mentioned this before, but it needs to be mentioned again. We are so focused still in the educational system on IQ. We have to get that EQ going, particularly for our boys. And this has three levels. It's kind of understanding oneself and how we interact with the immediate world around us and then pushing out from there. When we talk about self-management with boys, so often it tends to be around homework and things like that. But there is so much more, isn't there, as a boy grows towards management, adulthood, that he needs to learn to manage. And so we need to help with the nuances of things, you know, stuff like saying sorry and remediation around sorry, powerful scripts to say no when they're in situations they feel uncomfortable. Tackling those knotty things. You know, you can always tell with a boy or a bloke something they're uncomfortable with. It's the inappropriate jokes. And we see this around homophobia, racism, and sexism. So we need to unpack that for them, unpack those discomforts so that they can have a better understanding. Understanding that success has many faces. It's very difficult living in this celebrity world to get a very nuanced sense of success. And of course, failure. We have a very fearful climate in the world out there at the moment. You know, of terror, the word terror we use constantly. I love the Jack Canfield quote, that everything you want is on the other side of fear. So we need to walk with our boys through their most fearful moments, give them stepping stones to give them a vision what lies beyond that fear. And to do this, I think we need a big campaign with our parents, for them to get what's going on in their heads of their boys. And I thought James's presentation was particularly valuable for that today. There are some wonderful initiatives starting to happen. I can see the real power of peer-to-peer empowerment for boys. But there's another wonderful thing happening on the other side of the continent, and it was started up by somebody who's running a group called What Top Blokes. And this is an initiative that's going into a number of schools around the Wollongong area south of Sydney, and hopefully it will spread, which deals with a whole range of things, of anxieties that boys are feeling, including dealing with difficult stuff like porn and also suicide. And what they're now doing is, in those schools where the program is taken on board, is they are actually nominating a teacher in school who is responsible for the male welfare of the students. And I think this is a powerful initiative because it helps us to start to really focus in on what is happening at an individual school for things. So I come back to the question that I asked at the beginning. What are our boys supposed to do with their anger, their pain, and confusion? What stepping stones are we giving them? As I close, I just want to talk about radicalization for a moment, because, you know, there's a lot of fear around this, and it's certainly something we should be worried about. Not nearly so worried, I have to admit, as growing boys who will end up harming themselves or others. I think that's a far greater threat, but both are important to look at. And one question, as I've looked at this whole radicalization thing through the viewpoint of everything I've learned through my research, is that there are some very powerful lessons in the whole radicalization thing, as ugly and as dark as it is. And that is, these radicalized groups hone in on our boys. These are traditional grooming techniques, by the way. It's what pedophiles use as well. And they get to know them. They create a one-on-one relationship. They're interested in that boy. They get to know his anxieties and his aspirations. This is powerful stuff. And they offer ways to be a hero. They speak to that yearning that our boys want. And what I think is so poignant, as horrendous as some of the things that those boys have done, is that we have boys out there who will give their life to be able to experience that. That is how much they want heroism. Doesn't that tell us something very powerful? They offer boys belonging. They offer boys a chance to be bigger than something, than themselves, to make a difference, however dark that difference may be. So rather than us just making jokes, and I'm not suggesting for a moment this happens here, but we certainly hear it out there on the streets about, you know, how many virgins these boys are going to have when they die, or getting so terrified about terrorism, you know, we stop thinking and we stop treating people regardless of who they are as individuals. Perhaps we ought to be taking a few leaves out of this book and learn from it to groom our boys for empowerment and greatness and a contribution they can make to tomorrow's Australia that will benefit everybody. Because there are countless ways to be a man. And that's what the world needs, not blokes who are wandering around stuffing full of emotion that they daren't ever reveal. And I want to talk about two things that are happening that are very interesting. One of them is that I've been invited with a few footy codes to listen to some of their initiatives that they're getting going now, and they are really starting to look at the pastoral care of the young men coming into their codes right through to the elite players. I was at an event to do with the Waratahs, and I was amazed at the level of pastoral care and understanding that is now going into unpacking so many of the issues. The second thing is, pop culture's ahead of us, I feel, starting to be, and I'm quite excited about this. And one of the examples of this is Lynx. Oh, this has stopped. Oh, there we go. And I don't know whether I've presented here, but certainly I have given links a bashing around the country because they had these appalling ads for boys, like this one, because no one likes dirty balls. They've done something really interesting. I don't have time to play the whole YouTube clip, but I want you to go on and have a look because this YouTube clip, which came out in January, has had almost 4 million hits worldwide. And it's called Find Your Magic. And what it shows is dozens of ways you can be a bloke. And I think it's just the most incredible thing. And it starts with the vision of this guy. I saw it first at the pictures, and I was so excited I wanted to jump up, and he's got a very prominent nose. And it has, this is the tagline of it on YouTube. Who needs a six-pack when you have your own thing? No must-have, must-be fashion norms or body standards. The most attractive man you can be is yourself. So what makes you you? Then work on it. Whoops. And it even has a visual, which I don't have on this, I thought I had, of a young guy in a wheelchair with a gorgeous girl on his lap, and it's obviously his girlfriend. This is the vision of tomorrow we want, one that is big and bold and empowering, which serves our boys and which serves us. And so, let's be bold in what we want from our boys. I'm not suggesting that we don't demand a lot of them, but let's demand a lot of them in ways that are going to count for them and for us. Thank you.